All right, so let's start with mitzvah. We're up to mitzvah lamed tes. Mitzvah number 39. We did la lokach mode last week. And mitzvah number 39, please take note of the special way that the Sefer HaChinuch expresses the name of this mitzvah. He says, Shavol la'asos tzuros afilu l'goy.
Wait, l'noy, isn't it?
Did I say the goy? The feel of annoy. Yeah. I feel the annoy, even if you're just doing it for decoration. Now, this word tsuros is going to have quite a bit of a large description to it. I mean, if we look in the Torah is quite specific about what we shouldn't be doing, right? So, but here is the rub. A pesel is something that you have to posel. The reason why it's called a pesel is because you have a block of something, a stone or a wood, and you have to posel some of it with a chisel or and what falls away from what you don't want is called the pesel, the pasul stuff, the stuff that's nifsal from the original block of wood or stone. So, psol l'cha shnei l'cha usavon, similar kind of interpretation. So this great, that's a graven image, but it also says v'chol tmuna. A tmuna is two dimensional, right? It's not carved out and it's not sculpted. It's just on a piece of paper. Now. And it says a very famous Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Daled, about moons and suns and cutouts and other things like that that Rabbi Gamliel had in his study order to test the witnesses to see if what they saw in the sky was indeed representative of what they could see us to determine whether it's Rosh Chodesh or not. And the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Gamliel was able to do so because everybody knew that what was in his house was not for the purpose of being worshipped, but for the purpose of the halacha, you know, the purpose of determining the an important element of the calendrical system, and also besides the point, he was barabim. Everyone saw that it, you know, there wasn't a moment that anyone could even have a havamina that it was anything but that. So it's because of this that. Look, everything I'm about to tell you might have not just a radical opinion, but let's say extreme opinion, an opinion on one end of the spectrum. You know, there are these girl playthings that they like to play with, these Barbie dolls, that 3,000 years ago, a figurine about that size was absolutely an object of worship. People carry these little Astartes and these little... little figurines in their pockets. Usually it was for fertility or some other goddess. And these things were absolutely worshipped. So how can we have Barbie dolls today? How can a girl have a Barbie doll? How can you have a teddy bear? How can you have anything like that? How can you have a stuffed animal? Okay, so that goes back to Gemara's all over the beginning, especially the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where when everybody around me knows that this is not, that this is just a statue of a goddess in front of the bathhouse, and, you know, and no one is treating it with reverence or respect, Adarabba, we're all getting undressed and going to the bathhouse and taking care of bodily functions in front of this thing. That's not respect, right? So Rabbi Gamliel was able to bathe in such a place. So a lot of the expectation is important in this. But then you can ask, in a davar sof, where do you draw the line? Can I have full sculptures of full human bodies in my house? Can I... a three-dimensional picture, a sculpture of a human being. Forget about whether it's an object of worship or not. Okay. So let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch and a little bit of what the Minchas Chinuch has to say about this. Okay, because the title just says Afilu Lenoi, even if it's for decorative purposes. Okay, let's read a little about the Chinuch first. Shelo la'asos tzuros adam. So it started saying tzuros, and now he says tzuros adam. Okay, mishum davar. Doesn't matter what it's made of. Don't make it even out of paper, whatever it is. Right? Hein mimaschos, hein me'eitz. The Evans of Vuzulasam, whether it's made of metal, whether it's made of wood or stone or anything else. Bafilu Lenoi, even if it's for decoration. Shnemar, Lo Ta'asun Iti. Vidorshu Zichron Limaracha. I just made reference to this Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Lo Ta'asun Osi. Right? The word Iti, right? You can sometimes have. Look the same way, but be pronounced osi, because there's a holam, right, without the actual vav. V'dorshu zechron l'mevracha, lo ta'asun osi, klamar, lo ta'asun dimyon osatzura, d'hainu guf adam, because man is in God's image. Where did this tzura come from? It's from Yechezkel, right? The first chapter. Shekosafti aleha b'Torah si, I wrote about this goof in the Torah. Nase adam b'talmenu. Right? V'akavano k'kasuv v'akavano b'kasuv mitzad ha-seichel sh'nusan bo. Right? The nase adam b'talmenu k'dmusenu is from the tzad of passing over knowledge and information from one to the other, as God did to us and we can do to others. That's how we're in God's image. Okay, there's nothing to compare God to. And when we speak about God's image, we're not talking about anything physical per se, but just this idea of passing over knowledge. Okay. The law de lo tasel chapesel shekodam inyono shelo nase shum tzura sheteoved v'zeh halav miuchad the tzura sadam shelo nase so klal afilu noi v'zeh herchik avodizara. So the avera here is, even if you're not worshiping this thing, even if you're doing it for decoration, you can't have a pesel, a tzura of a human being.
It says, well, that's so. It doesn't say that you can't have
it. It can't make it.
Right.
Right. Well, we'll see that the idea of having someone else make it for you is a different pasuk. Lo tifnu el ha'elilim, something like that. But yeah. Okay. All right. Dine ha-mitzvah, kigon ha-oset tzuras adam choser, eiver echad, o yuser, madino. You ever see something like that where you just knock off a little bit of the nose?
Yeah.
Pull off a little bit of the ear. Okay. That sound familiar?
Yeah.
All right. All those kind of things. That's called a bittul or a psul. Yes, for time we're going to prepare for Shlishim of the Zara, or Maseches Sanhedrin. Okay, Amar Zichron Levracha, Shalav Hazehu Kolel Inyonim Acherim. Amnam Ikar Alav Kimajah Zicharnu, V'chein Amar Levachilta. Okay, this is the main scope of the Isser. And Oheges B'chom Akom B'chol Zman Zicharnu Kevos, Be'aver Olevu Aset Be'asad Tzuras Adam Afilu Enoi. Overall, mitzvahs melech klamar ve'in b'chiyuv malchus.
Sorry if you mentioned this, Rabbi. This includes a drawing, a picture, a two-dimensional representation.
Yes. In fact, there are some. I think the Jewish press actually ran a question on this recently. Someone told me they saw it there and they called me to ask about it. And I know I've heard Rav Schechter give a shiur on this. And how many times have you, as a 5-year-old in kindergarten, remember drawing a picture of, let's say, a field or swings or with your friends, and in the corner of the picture there's a little yellow, right, little circle in the yellow, and you even have rays coming out of that circle, right? Rav Schechter says you should not draw a picture of a sun. Right? Or moon or stars, for that matter.
The Sabbath by Diane Grunfeld has a photograph of the sun on the front.
Yeah, okay, could be. Maybe it's not realistic or something. But, right?
Or it's a photograph. Maybe that's different.
Yeah, but Schechter says not to do it at all. I know he's very mocked on this. But sometimes you have to be careful, you know, not saying things that I don't know if it's correct, it's correct. We should be careful.
But according to this, you couldn't paint a portrait, for example, of someone.
You shouldn't paint a portrait with a full picture.
Oh, okay. You can paint. You can paint like a headshot.
Yeah. Something where that it's. It's a profile or
I see.
But yes. How do we make videos at weddings? There's a full body.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there other cases where you have this punishment? Mitzvahs melech?
Avar al mitzvahs melech. So we'll see at the end of in the chinuch, we'll see why isn't there malchus for this? Ha'oset sura is an asiya. It's an alav sheyesh bo maser, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do some chinuch. Okay, let's look at the first one. It says about Behine Besugid de Rosh Hashanah. See the second paragraph. I don't know if I see any notation. I underlined some points. Okay, Behine Besugid de Rosh Hashanah va'avodizara Hashem. That's in the third paragraph. Mevor de Belav Hazeh Kama Inyonim Nichlalubo. The Kama Braisos Muvoim Shom. A lot of different inclusions in this mitzvah, and there are brises that are brought down on these two sugyas. De lo yase adam beis tavnis heichal ubebrais hacheres mevor lo tasuniti kidmus mishamshai. So one thing is you're not allowed to make any representation of any of the furnishings in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You're not allowed to make a candelabra with seven strands. You ever see that? Like in many shuls, the middle strand is either a Jewish star or it's something else. But it'll have six bulbs or something, but the seventh one right in the middle isn't set up as such. So that's the first limud. The second limud is kidmus mishamshai. That's what Rav Schechter was talking about. Don't make any even pictures of the things that attend to me up in the Shemayim, sun, moon, stars. So the Abaye comes and says that what is the thing that serves me in the heavens? It's the four-headed creature described in Yecheskel Perek Aleph. Oh, okay. That I'm not allowed to make a representation. An eagle on one side, a lion on the other side, an ox on the other side, and a human face on the other side. According to this, it's only a human with these other three animals that I shouldn't be doing. A human alone must be okay. There is a limud based on this, such a limud based on this source. Okay, continue. V'gam d'mus adam nafgalon mipasuk zeh. Iti hainu oti. V'char zeh mavor b'mehalav hazeh. Lo tasun iti kigon srafim v'ofanim v'chayos ha-kodesh. Don't make pictures of angels. No pictures, such as the sun and the moon. Seems to me that all of these are al pi halacha. Okay. right, skip to the top of the next column where it says Vinei Lashon HaRambam. Okay, Vinei Lashon HaRambam Kan Halacha Yud V'Harava Mechaber Mevu'ar Dehalav Hu Ha'asiya. The Avera is by making this thing. Dimasa Over Balav. As soon as he makes it, he violates it, even if he doesn't believe in it, even if he's not using it for anything, making it for someone else. Vafilu asa'ol acherim, as I just said, even if he makes it not for his own use. Kol makom ha'ose over balav. The one who makes it violates the Torah. Kimo ha'ose malocha b'shabbos. Well, what's he saying? Someone who ose malocha b'shabbos, the ha'Torah chayava raka ose. Avalo below you asabi adayim. What would that be called? That's like a grama or a garmi or so, you know, someone that causes it not be a dayim, but in a secondary mode. Rak acher asoli. He didn't make it himself. Someone made it for me. Ino evaze al hashihi ababayis. He wouldn't be in violation of the Torah by just leaving it there, because that's a law of shein b'mais. Right? Oh, al shitzivol la'asos, even if he commanded it. Ki lifnei zeh be'olchus tes, halacha tes, kosa ba'asiyas atzlamim, sheha'ose akum, afa pi shelo asa biyado loke. When someone makes a tzelem, right? Let's see what the difference in the tzelem and our halacha is. Someone makes a tzelem, right? Af api shelo asa biyado loke, v'kan lo kasav zerak stam asu lasos. Uvoid hedya, d'dafka al ha'oseh k'pina ha'Torah. Do you get it? So it's only the actual making of this thing, the Torah. What's actually in the person's heart? That's a different mitzvah. You ever see that big Tosfos about the Kruvin? It's easily the largest Tosfos in Shas. It's the whole page of Gemara Yuma, just a few lines of Gemara. The rest of this is big Tosfos. So, Shitas HaRambam, I'm sorry, Rav Meir Mirofenberg, Achdas HaRambam v'Harav HaMachaber, Kamo Shemavur Sham Shas, the Rosh Hashanah v'Avod Zara, Shaini Rabban Gamliel, the Acherim Asu Lo, Elohu Tzuchu HaRambam v'Harav HaMachaber, Faresh, Kimemela Nishma, that Rabban Gamliel didn't make those things, someone made it for him. What's he doing with it? So the Gemara says, "Because who da'alav he ala ose, he didn't make it, so it's not a problem." Im kem yemele mavuar kol she'ino ose biyadayim eino over. If he didn't make this thing, just having it isn't the avera. You shouldn't make the Barbie doll, but you can have one, because everybody knows it's not an object of worship. Now, there's a question in halacha about certain concepts in Hilchos Shabbos over whether they apply outside of Hilchos Shabbos. Have you ever heard of this thing, Amira la'akum shvus? Does it sound familiar?
Yes.
It's based on a pasuk in the Mechilta Darshins in Shmos, in Parshas Bo. It says, kol malacha lo ye'oseh lachem. In binyan nifal. So that implies malacha shall not even be done for you, even if it's by a non-Jew. Right? Which the Mechel Tadarshan is to say that you cannot have a Gentile do work for you on Shabbos. And according to this, it's a Doraisa. It's based on a Pasuk. But we don't Paskin this way. We Paskin Amira La'akum Shvus. Asking a Gentile to do something for you is not more than a shvus. Shvus meaning vishbos mizeh midrabanan. It's not a Torah law, but a rabbinic law. Okay, it's not smachta, if you will. Okay, now the question is, and our the chinuch here is siding with one side here. Is Amira La'akam Shvus limited to Hilchos Shabbos, or is it true about other things as well? Right? Am I allowed to ask a Gentile to neuter my animal for me? Right? Am I allowed to ask a Gentile to do something I should not be doing outside of Hilchos Shabbos? It's machlokas. Okay, I'll give another example, for instance. You're familiar that there's when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there's a question that sometimes something is chayav, a punishment. Sometimes something is mutter, so you can even do it l'chatchila. And the middle ground is something called patur avrol asur. It's patur, but it's still asur. Patur means it's asur midir banan, right? Mutter means you could do it even l'chatchila. Okay, so three levels, chayav, patur, mutter. Does that configuration appear outside of Hilchos Shabbos? So comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin to say that there's only one other area of halacha where this is true, and it's Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Okay, there are some things in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that are chayav, some things in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that are patra avaser, and some things in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that are mutter l'chatchila. What could be mutter l'chatchila? Yeah, because if everybody knows it's not worshipped, everybody knows it's in his house and he's using it to test the others. So there are some things that are even mutter, but some other things are patur aval aser. They're forbidden only midrabanan, but not midaraisa. Okay, there's a famous machlokes between Reb Chaim and the Tzemach Tzedek, because the Rambam, look at my face, everybody. The Rambam says you're chayav if you shave here. Okay. It's mutter to shave here with a razor. Chayev if you shave here with a razor. And it's putter if you shave with a ke'en tar. Ke'en tar could be a scissors, could be a tweezers, could be a, you know, other ways of pulling the hair off. Certainly Norelko, something the Rambam obviously wasn't referring to, but the Norelko is by all accounts Ke'en tar. Ke'en tar means like a razor, but not exactly. So that's the debate. Right? Lubavitch, of course, is very much against today using such an implementation. Right? Because the Tzemach Tzedek was the Lubavitch Rebbe. But you know, briskers, right? You know, Aaron Lichtenstein and a lot of briskers shave. Very common, clean shaven mamish. Okay, because of this lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says that shaving with a ke'en tar is putter. But the Tzemach Tzedek said, no. Putter still means aser. I agree, if you shave with a Norelko, you're not chayav malchus. But you are violating the Torah. You're violating the Torah's permission to the rabbis to tell us what to do. All right? We'd be violating the law of the lotosor. Okay, so that is that's the debate. Okay, we also don't like to violate Rabbanans either. I mean, I've heard this. Okay, but I might caution you that the laws of where you can shave. Do you know anybody remember where in the Rambam you'll find those laws? Right, that some of the Rav Chaim Brisker, who they were always great Rambam learners. Chaim Brisker warned, he said, listen, it's not outside of Hilchos Shabbos that putter means forbidden. It's only in Hilchos Shabbos that putter means forbidden. Right? So the laws of shaving with a razor is codified in the laws of Avodah Zarah. Remember, the Gemara in Sanhedrin said that Avodah Zarah, only Avodah Zarah is like Shabbos in this score. So, Stama, not everything about Hilchos Shabbos is going to be true outside of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Maybe Lakum Shvos or in our case, whether something is Pater Avol Aser in Hilchos Shabbos or other places. Okay. Right? So he's arguing here in the next section, there's Tosfos in the Maseches Avodah Zarah. It says, Amir Lakum Shvos, Afilu B'davar She'eno Shel Shabbos. So we see that Amir la'akum shvus applies to other things. So not only can you not make this tzura, this tzelem with your hands, even if it's just for noi, you shouldn't have someone make it for you. Okay? Don't tell him to make it, because Amir la'akum shvus. And we'll see that there's a good reason to treat everything when it comes to Ilchus Shabbos similarly regarding to Ilchus Avodah Zarah. The two behave very, very similar. Yeah, because a violation of Shabbos and the violation of Avodah Zarah is like violating the whole rest of the Torah.
But what if the figurine is just part of his inventory? He didn't make it for you. Just, you know, he has that inventory of 10 statues to sell.
Yeah, this is not something for a good Jewish boy to get to business in, but they do. I think the justification they give is that there's a slight partnership with a Gentile. The Gentile has the partnership on those items. But
does this is implied to B'nai Noach as part of the prohibition against Bazar?
No, I think the klal in Maseches Sanhedrin is that if a Jew doesn't have an Azharas Mises based in for this Avodah Zarah, then it's mutter to a Gentile. Okay, so if you have an ox that needs to be plow. You can't tell a Gentile, do me a favor, put a muzzle over his head, and it's my ox, but I'm just asking you to put a muzzle on, right? What if somehow an ox was able to put on a muzzle himself? The owner would have to remove it. Okay. All right, so the Chinuch himself asks the question, why wasn't Rav Gamliel afraid of chashta? Chashta means marasayin. Now marasayin is also for two reasons. One is that the person watching you, especially if you're a bar hochi, might think, "Oh, look at that! He's doing it. It must be permitted." But that person doesn't realize that you're actually only doing it in for your own purposes. In this in the case of Gamliel, to test the Edim of what's Rosh Chodesh. Right? So why wasn't he worried about Chashka? As a separate thing is that we don't have the right to judge anybody else Bekaf Schus, that they're going to judge us Bekaf Schus. You know what I'm saying? We always have to imagine that someone is going to judge us in the worst possible way. So don't open the door for someone to interpret your behavior in a positive way, if it could be interpreted in a negative way, right? From our end, we always have to judge everybody. When you see someone doing something questionable, just imagine, just hope that, you know, to the point of being willfully naive. Okay, that's your business. But don't assume that someone else is going to interpret what you're doing in that such a way. Mm-hmm. So the Chinuch just answers, the Rabbim Shchichi Labei. So many people were there that there was never time for anyone to possibly think, oh, look at what Leo is doing. I'll do the same. Okay. All right. In a similar vein, very famously also in the same area, in the Maseches Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Eliezer taught his students magic tricks. Remember the cucumbers, right? He taught his students the magic tricks and how to do them, not so that they could be magicians, so that they could know what's considered kishuf if a case ever comes up to you. Okay. All right, so that's called lo tilmad la'asos, aval la'tolamad la'havinu la'horos. You can have understanding in order to paskin what's considered this thing, right? When someone came to court to say that a person blessed God, they had to say the words, they had to say what they heard. In that case, each subsequent witness just comes in and says, I heard the same thing that person heard. I heard the same thing that person heard. Because you don't want to have a bunch of people constantly, saying things that people not usually have to tear kriya if they hear. Okay. Now, she says now, the Hinei HaRava Mechaber, this is the Gimel. Hinei HaRava Mechaber, Eino Mevi Halav Rak Al Tzuras Adam. Al B'shas Kan Mevor, the Gam Malachim Ha'ofanim Mechtsrafim. V'chein Chamo Levona, Kochavim U'mazolos, B'chal Halav. Right? So the Sefer Chinuch only mentions a portrait or a sculpture of a person. But in the Gemara mentions that in addition, there are angels, malachim, ofanim, srafim, and also the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then the constellations. And also the four figures together.
How do we have the two lions on the top of the Aron?
They're not full. They're also profiles. And I think you're right. I think that
yeah, but it's very common. I mean, it's like it's extremely common.
Ubiquitous. It's all over the world. I've seen it. I actually go looking for them. It's very common. Now, the Torah does allow the two kruvim, four kruvim, two of them are avodah zarah. The Torah does have figurines all over some of the woven work, right? Parochas had pictures of angels on them, right? Incredibly, this isn't in the Torah, but it's in Sefer Melachim and Divrei Hayamim. Incredibly, There were 12 molten bulls on Har HaBayis. You ever see pictures of them? You know what I'm talking about, anybody? Right under the Yam Shel Shlomo.
Right.
Yam Shel Shlomo had, it was this huge water tower.
Right.
It held it up. They held them up.
Three in each direction. It's like, and the Gemara goes along with it. Has to mean something else. I don't know. I haven't made my peace with it yet.
Does this mean, though, that if you draw or paint in a stylized manner, sort of a bit of an abstraction or something, that if it's not, you know, it's more stylized,
it's a little off. Yeah.
Then it's more of an abstraction than it is. Like, you can tell it's meant to be a human, but it's clearly not really representative.
Yeah. That becomes mutter.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
A brisker Rosh Yeshiva might think it's Bittel's mom to do it, but...
No, but that's obviously where the line is for that is probably why...
Of course.
For people who are painters.
Come to my living room. The Picasso style.
You come to my living room and you see that there's this big portrait of me playing piano. Right, my daughter had to make it was a school project in School of Visual Arts. So, because it's not a full picture. It's not a
right.
And then the Chinuch says that Midibri Rambam. This is the Dalet. Nira de Eino Chayav Malkus Ela Betzuras Adam Bilvad. But this malchus is only on a person, but not on the other things, the sun, moon, etc. Bayin Shachman, here's where you get into trouble. Anybody here go to MTA? No, no one went to Yeshiva University High School. It's covered up now, but when I went there, as soon as you walk into the front building on 186th Street, right? This was the building, the famous building they put up in 1929.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk in, this is, I'd say it's about maybe 10 feet in diameter easily, maybe more. There's a huge circle sliced up into like a pizza pie. But it's not 8 slices, it's 12 slices. What are the 12 slices?
Like the zodiac or something?
It absolutely is. Yep. It's the zodiac.
Right.
Okay. So, and the Gemara at the end of Masechet Shabbos, if you recall, remember, it discusses the different personality types that you can determine about an individual based on the zodiac. So okay, it's one thing to contemplate such an element of planetary influence, but it's another thing to actually have the drawings. So take a look at the hay. Vayein shach yordeis im kuf memalav sifkat lamin. Shekosav hada asur lasos tsuros hamazalos. Haini yud beis mazalos biyachad. To have all 12 of them together. Avol kol chad l'chudei shari. But each one separately, okay, kmo aryeh or shor, kdome. V'chor nir al raya lezeh, di'i kol chad b'fnei atzma o'asar, imkein lamali krol o'asar tzuras adam. Atzuras adam yesh b'mazalos, kikon b'sula b'chodesh elu. El akarachach, dafka kulam b'yachad, kmo ba'pami. What's asur is to have all 12 of them in a circle, and you have the each one leading into the other. All right, so how did they have it there? I don't know. We don't follow every shach, but that's it's amazing.
A still life, like a bowl of fruit or something like that. No problem with that?
No.
Okay.
No problem.
Flowers, no, something like that.
Yeah, there's something called normative halacha. Listen, I have artwork all over my house. You know,
right.
And I have pictures of micrography all over the house of family sitting together and reading the Haggadah. So obviously those are not realistic.
Right. Right. They're stylized. Right.
Yeah, I have a picture of a bunch of Hasidim dancing, and I have...
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. If it's what is the scope of this mitzvah lo ta'asun, you know, in our pasuk, in our mitzvah? So mitzvah lamites in our day, right? It's mutter to have a factory that makes Barbie dolls. It's mutter to have a factory that makes stuffed animals. Right. What's usher is to make things that are objects of adoration and worship. Now, some girls maybe adore the Barbie doll and they worship them. Maybe I don't know. But it's something where you feel that this thing has power. Right. The reason why they held on to these little figurines is because it fits nicely in my pocket, and I could take my goddess with me. And just take her out of my pocket and pray to her here and there. You know, your deity is not supposed to be so easily portable, right?
Right.
So I think we have to be measured today in our expectations. I think the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Dalet, the most famous source on all this, it's where the Chinuch started, is the expectation. Everybody knows that Ben Gamliel was not worshiping these things, and he was using them in order to test the Edim, and then it was Rabbi Shani, and there's no reason for Chosh Chad or judging him Kaf Chova, you know. It's a Klal Gadol for everything that we have. But if the thing is actually there's an old joke about a Jew who, you know, he dealt in Christmas trees, but he always muffled his voice because he didn't want anyone to know that he was dealing in this, right? But then there's another person who is making a mass order, and he's also Jewish. So each one is trying to hide their accent on the phone when this one's making the order and that one's accepting the order. So he's talking into the phone. He goes, I want 1,000 trees for Xmas. And the other guy on the other line is also trying to hide his voice. And he goes, Yvonne, Davon, mit the Jesus on top, or mit on the Jesus on top? Look, Jews can a Jew be involved in such a? A tree is a whole different thing because that's not whether that's even a religious article or not.
It's not.
Yeah, and there's a famous Jew of the Radbaz about crosses. You know, there's a Jew probably went to maybe cross the line when he became very good friends with a local religious functionary who sent him a bejeweled cross, and he asked the Radbaz whether or not he was allowed to keep it. So the Radbaz says, you know, it's Mishum Eva. You know, he's going to you can't give it back to him. You can't sell it. If he sees that you sold it, that's what's going to be bad.
But was it just the cross, or there was a figure on the cross?
There was a cross with some jewels around it.
So why would the cross be a problem?
I thought maybe
no figure on it.
Yeah, he called him just as a is it possibly a religious article that's asubahano maybe? He paskin no, but then the I'm not sure if the Radbaz himself writes about this, or there's a follow-up tshuva, that whenever the priest wanted the Jew to appear before him, he wanted him to be wearing the cross. So that's already, you know, it's another level. But look, it's not a religious symbol, then it's, you know, but derech harai.
Okay. What if you get enjoyment from, like, the artwork? But when the paintings were made, they were, in fact, tended to be religious paintings. But now we just regard them as masterpieces of art.
Yeah, I would just have to tell you, my daughter once had she was taking it stern. So she had to go to the cloisters. So, you know, you could just picture what I was doing, but there's some beautiful, beautiful just gardens there. So I'm sitting there with all my Gemaras, my packs of Rambams there, sitting in the cloisters learning the Rambam while my daughter was taking notes and looking at some of the displays there. I assume some of you have been there, but...
beautiful.
Yeah.
Quite an extraordinary...
Funny.
Situation. That's very funny. Yeah. So it's also good, not beautiful, walking around there. Anyway, so that's our mitzvah l'hametz. It's Hashem. Hopefully by next week I'll be out of prison and I'll be able to...
How are you feeling?
I'm really feeling okay, really feeling fine. I see the new guidelines that say that I can possibly leave soon. I think the Rebbetzin wants me to get a negative test before I do. But I think you just go out. You just finish. Because this strand is much less time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Baruch Hashem, she's tested negative so far. Okay. All right, everybody.
Shlomo.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Well, I have this Shlomo because it's not really sick, but Okay. Thank you very much.
Can you stay on for one sec?
Sure.
2 seconds. Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.